Blog Talk Radio.
Your host, Merle Exit, here in extremely humid New York City. We're going to Sedona, Arizona today, and unless otherwise, the only food sound you'll hear is choo-choo, and that's the Verde Canyon Railroad. Now, try getting a mime to speak. Well, Robert Shields has pent-up communication, formerly a mime, and part of the team of Shields and Yarnell. He's now doing both vocal comedy and using his hands to create works of art in Sedona. And, but, oh yeah, what are the fame vortexes Sedona are about? Well, Pete Sanders will explain the phenomenon. Okay, now, of course, you know, I'm going to have to take the first commercial break.
Hey, I need a mint or hard candy. What is in that little tin that you have there? Wedges of Belgian chocolate in a tin? Wow, you have a whole collection. Dark chocolate with orange, dark chocolate with raspberry, dark chocolate with coffee, dark chocolate with mint, tiramisu in dark chocolate, dulce de leche in milk chocolate, and creme brulee in white chocolate. You know, I usually wind up with paper wrappers and silver foil in chocolate soup. Now that's a great idea that I can travel with.
Chocolate Traveler is available at stores, including Trader Joe's. Check it out on www.chocolatetraveler.com. And yes, we're back right now. Now, let me tell you what's happened or what's been happening here. Let's see. Well, the Sports Museum of America just opened up here in New York City. Well, let me tell you about that. I did get to interview Martina Navratilova and Billie Jean King, but I'm going to be saving that for a future show when I actually go there, and I'm going to do a show right from there. But just to give you an idea of what this thing is, I'm just going to basically read from their PR piece, because it places enormous and it's awesome. Okay. The Sports Museum of America is a dynamic, interactive, multimedia destination featuring one-of-a-kind experiences using leading technology as well as memorabilia and iconic artifacts donated by individual athletes, private collectors, and more than 50 partner halls of fame, museums, and associations. It offers guests the opportunity to experience more than 600 artifacts, 1,100 photos, and 20 original films within 19 galleries representing a multitude of sports, from baseball to football, basketball to soccer, figure skating to extreme sports, and everything in between. In addition, it features more than 24 mechanical and computer interactive exhibits, bringing visitors closer than ever to their favorite sports, whether it's feeling the sensation of an incoming 120-mile-per-hour slap shot from the hockey goalie's perspective, stepping onto a simulated NASCAR racetrack with cars screaming by on giant floor-to-ceiling screens on both sides of the guests, feeling the pressure of an NFL official to make the correct call on the field, or comparing the heft of the baseball bats used by Alex Rodriguez, Ken Griffey Jr., and Ichiro Suzuki. Okay, maybe I pronounced his name wrong, because I'm not into baseball. But here's, for me, the important part. The important part is this particular attraction. In partnership with the Women's Sports Foundation, they will be home to the new Billie Jean King International Women's Sports Center. That includes the first and only Hall of Fame dedicated to the athletes and pioneers in women's sports. And they're offering interactive exhibits and educational databases highlighting female accomplishments in sports. Now, just for anybody who might be interested, go to sportsmuseum.com. You'll be able to see this information. I believe that it costs $27 at the admission, ages 15 to 59. And I'm sure they have group rates. And I'll just give you the phone number too. It's area code 212-747-0900. Yes, that's the women's sports thing is really awesome. I just have to get the New York Sharks in there. That's, I have to do that. Let's see what else is doing. I saw a catered affair on Broadway. Okay. Well, it's Harvey Fierstein, I think he wrote the book, so to speak. In other words, he took it from the movie and wrote the book for the Broadway show. And he's in it, but he doesn't seem to be the star. Because, you see, like, you know, who takes the final bow in the curtain call? And that bow is actually taken by Faith Prince. Who is absolutely does a wonderful job in there, and Tom Wopat is also in the show. Now, what I personally felt with the show is they're calling it a musical, and it's more like a play with music, because I mean there's no choreography, there's no dance numbers, it's not that kind of a musical. It's more like, it's kind of opera type thing, where it seems like they're not necessarily singing songs, like they're singing some dialogue. I mean, there are a few songs that sound like they're sung, but most of the songs, you know, sound dialogue-ish. And what I had also found, and it's just probably because of the characters, that Tom Wopat and Faith Prince didn't really have their voices, like, you know, really. I mean, they were okay, but they weren't like their own impact. But I guess the songs don't call for that type of singing, it's a comedy. I guess it's a comedy with tragic tones, I suppose. It was comedy with serious tones. I would recommend it. But in terms of, you know, something that's like, you know, hilarious, I wouldn't say it's hilarious. In that case, you would have to see Crybaby that I talked about. Or the New Century, so that's what I enjoyed. And what else is on the scene is Oh, I'm looking to write a book. Yes. I'm looking to write a book, an autobiographical book. Is anybody out there interested? I have about 9 chapters in the intro done already. And mostly the more amusing parts about my life. And so while we're I'm waiting for our first caller, who actually from the railroad, Teresa Kropek will be the person calling from Verde Canyon Railroad. In the meantime, let's go to I'm in the mood for, since I talked about the sports museum, let's do, why not, a Melissa Etheridge song. Hear it. I don't hear it playing. I certainly hope it is. Well, if case there's no sound, somebody call me and let me know. Well, I have no idea what's going on. I don't know if the music went on or not. I know I didn't hear it. Let's see. Why am I having trouble with this? Okay. And I don't even know if it stopped. I hope I don't have to do my own commercials over here. As it already started, when I called in, I was getting a busy signal, of course. How I could possibly get a busy signal, I have no idea. Well, I'll see what's going to happen when the first caller calls in, if I can even get that, and if not, I may have to not do a show this evening, and they'll just come back to me on Blog Talk Radio and tell me there's technical difficulties and apologize while I have all these people calling in who are going to be pissed. All right, let's see. I'll tell you what. Again, I got no idea if I'm being heard, which is awful. I'm going to then, how about if I can read from one of the chapters in the book. Actually, that's what I'll do here. Perhaps let me just give you the intro. Okay, let's do the intro. This is the intro in my book. Okay. Isn't it great when things get screwed up? Or shall we say, fucked up. Okay. And, of course, the title of my book is Merle's Worlds. Hi, my name is Merle Exit. Well, actually, that's my stage name. You see, I changed it to Exit so I can see my name up in lights. When people ask me if I'm from Queens, I tell them, no, my folks are straight. I guess that gives you an idea that I have a sense of humor. Nobody told me that I had to subdue my laughter. And believe me, with life being funny, I wanted to share it with everyone. In fact, there wasn't anything I wouldn't do if it got someone to laugh. My sense of humor came from my family, particularly on my father's side. There were lots of jokes from my dad, Max, mostly puns. My mother, Gertrude, also known as Goldie, tended to share the dirty jokes with me and had a sarcastic way about her. Hey, Mom, I have show and tell today. What can I do? Show your ass and tell about it, came the answer. She seemed to have a focus on the anal portion of one's body when it came to humor. The first limerick that I could remember was one she told me. There once was a lady from Kent who shit wherever she went. She went to the fair to try to shit there, but they clogged up her hole with cement. I never forgot it. I remember meeting up with my friend Linda. I was 9 years old at the time. Something funny was said, and I laughed wholeheartedly. You should laugh like that, she said. It's not ladylike. With complete amazement, I retorted with, who told you that? My mother, she replied. I was startled and actually wondered if her mother was some sort of odd creature. I couldn't wait to meet her. Needless to say, she was just another mother. It was then I decided how odd the world was. Why would anyone believe something to be true just because your parents said so? Considering that each of us is looking for approval, then the person who lays it on you is also someone looking for approval and therefore doesn't have the answers, but a bunch of belief systems. The reality of the laughter thing is that it's not only quite healthy to let out a good belly laugh, but doing so would not make for a change in my genitals. So much for the ladylike theory. Guilt is another illogical aspect of our lives, especially Jewish guilt. It had always been difficult for me to feel guilty, and the guilt trips are a way to manipulate you by getting you to do something that you really don't want to do by appealing to your positive feelings so the other person can get what they want. Doing something that you know is wrong and getting caught at it is deemed as guilty. For instance, when I took tests in school and cheated, I did this quite often, as school seemed to be all about what you memorized or read, which I'll share in the next chapter. I devised fabulous ways to do this, including learning to write in such tiny print that I could store at least 2 answers on 1 fingernail. I even learned to write the entire preamble to the Constitution on a piece of paper the size of 1 inch high and 3 inches long. Glancing at other people's tests and setting up signals with others were pretty high on my list as well. So here I am in a movie called Up the Down Staircase, where I play the part of a student. Since I didn't have any lines that day, I didn't get a script. The scene was taking a test, and I automatically do what I usually do. This time, I'm just glancing at the answers from the guy next to me. The scene continued with the principal coming in and talking with the teacher about one of the students. As he leaves, he turns and says, third row, second seat, eyes on your own paper. I suddenly realized that it was me, and a garden of butterflies began dancing the jig in my stomach. Did the actor improvise? No, it was actually in the script. The butterflies had a field day each and every rehearsal or take. During my young teenage years, I hung around with Jack, who would be my partner in humorous crime. There was a joke going around at that time. There were 2 elephants in a bathtub. One said to the other, pass the soap, and the other said, no soap, radio. Sure, it didn't make sense, but people laughed at it anyway. We decided to make up one of our own, and I'll tell you that later. As soon as I just take a look and see if there's a possibility, just a possibility. Let's see if there's anything made a difference on here. Oh, okay, maybe I can take breaks. Okay. Well, the person who was supposed to call in hasn't called in. All right, so I'll tell you the joke. If five people were rowing a rowboat up Fifth Avenue, how many pancakes could the Empire State Building hold? 45, because ice cream has no bones. The idea was to tell this joke and just start laughing. Needless to say, the other person would either stare blankly or say, I don't get it. That made the joke even funnier for us that the person was trying to figure it out. More laughter. This now works better when the next person joins in and the person you first told it to goes into a fit of laughter due to the catchiness of hysterical laughter, and then that person having the common reaction. Well, it was Jack that had told me to write a book called The Many Lives of Bo. Neither of us remembers why Bo could have something to do with the song The Name Game. The mind thing isn't due to my being a member of Kraft. Can't remember a fucking thing. We're talking about 40 years ago. Jack and I have gotten back in touch and did a lot of reminiscing. I dedicate this book to him. So. Yep, so that's the intro to my book. Now, let's see. I have messages sent to me on my email. let's see what I'm hearing here. Let's see. All right. Well, I'm still on. I got a message that I'm being heard. That'll still record. that it happened in someone else one time too. Okay. It was not streaming, but it did the podcast. It's going to do the podcast, but it's not streaming. So I guess what's going on then is this, that no one is hearing this. I'm just recording this whole thing. So if nobody calls in, I'm really up Schitt's Creek without a battle. Well, maybe I'm going to wind up reading a few more chapters in my book here. No, I do have a caller. I have a caller. Okay. Thank goodness. I guess this is working. Let's see. Do I have Teresa on the phone by any chance?
Yes, you do.
Oh, thank goodness. This is working.
I have been calling for quite a while.
Really?
I couldn't get through.
Were you getting a busy signal? Or just...
I was, a total busy signal, yes.
That was so weird. That's what happened when I started to call in the number myself, and I'm going, how could it be busy? I'm the only one that can call in. Yeah. But anyway, so now's your chance to tell us. So tell us about the Verde Canyon Railroad out there in Sedona. Well, it's not in Sedona. It's in Verde Canyon, right?
Well, yeah, we're actually just 25 minutes from Sedona. So it's so easy. It's a nice, easy drive through the beautiful Red Rock Country to get over to the train ride. And it's a four-hour wilderness trip through the Verde Canyon.
Wow. And what do we get to, like, see? What's
Well, the best part about it is that it's a total wilderness area. You get to see the backcountry of Arizona, untarnished, no commercialism. The American bald eagle lives and nests in our canyon. We have great blue herons. We have hawks, deer, javelinas. We go through a 680-foot tunnel that was blasted in 1911 to carry the copper ore out of the valley and into the world. We pass through some gorgeous red rocks that are 1,800 feet deep. You get to see the river, and we have open-air viewing cars. So everyone has a beautiful indoor car with food and drinks, but you take your drinks and go outside and get to see the eagles fly by and have that beautiful breeze blowing around. It's just a wonderful way to spend 4 hours.
I'm getting a flashback of something. Was there like something odd, that something that looked like something that were spotting?
We have quite a few different rocks that you can see. We have the Budweiser frogs that are very easily identified. We have elephant rock. We have turtle rock. You know, people can really use their imagination in our canyon and see all kinds of very interesting things.
Was there any, like, what's the most, like, humorous or one, you know, that somebody said, yeah, it does look like that?
Well, we have Louis the Lizard. That's probably the best one to me.
Louis the Lizard, huh?
Those Budweiser commercials. Everybody likes those.
Oh, okay.
But we have, you know, just we go over five different bridges and trestles. And when we stop on the bridge called SOB Bridge, and no, it doesn't stand for that terrible term. It's really Superintendent of Bridges.
Okay.
When we're on SOB Bridge, people get to look back down the canyon, and we're 150 feet up over the river, and you really get a sense of how small we are in comparison to this beautiful country and openness that we do have a lot of to show you out west.
Wow. And does it go rain or shine, by the way?
You bet. And when it rains in our canyon, what a treat. During the summer months, we have a lot of, like, afternoon thunder showers. And all of our open-air cars are covered, so you have your great seating inside, but you can go out in that open-air car and be safe from the rain, and you can watch the thunder bounce off the rocks in the canyon, and we run it pretty much every day. The only day we are closed is Tuesday. And
wow.
Pretty much, yeah, rain or shine, 360-some days a year, we love to run that train. We like people to come and see that canyon.
How hot does it get there, by the way?
Well, generally, whatever the temperature is in Phoenix, you deduct about 10 degrees. Right now, it's absolutely gorgeous. We're in the 70s, 80s. It's beautiful, beautiful right now. We had a little bit of rain on Tuesday afternoon up in the canyon, and it just makes everything more vibrant, the greens more green, and, of course, the red rocks, because we're going through the red rocks of Sedona, so you really get to see that beautiful color coming through, and you're looking up at the blue, vivid blue skies with the white clouds. It's a great, great way to see the backcountry.
Wow, that sounds great. It was a number of years ago that I was there, but I do remember being on the railroad. Let me just see if I can. I don't know if I can get this here. I'm having trouble.
Come take a ride. Where rivers flow and flowers grow beneath the clear blue sky. The train is a-rolling, everybody.
Yeah, that's the theme song, isn't it?
That's it, exactly.
Yeah.
And
I'll play a little later, too, just for people to hear.
And,
yeah.
You know, we're really convenient for people when they come out to visit Arizona, too, because we're only an hour and a half north of Phoenix, 25 minutes from downtown Sedona. We're right by Jerome, the ghost town. Within 20 minutes, anywhere, 25 minutes in our little valley, there are some great things to see and do in the Verde Valley in conjunction with going to Sedona. It's a great area.
Anything specific that you would say you shouldn't miss, anything in particular?
Well, you definitely shouldn't miss seeing Tuzegut National Monument. It's one of the best preserved Indian ruins in the nation. It's amazing. And it's interpretive, so you have people there to talk you through it and show you around. We have Montezuma Castle, which is another fabulous Indian ruin there. Jerome, the ghost town. That's why our whole area was built basically around that mine in Jerome. And so it's got all the history, and it's got ghost stories. There's haunted places, and it's got a lot of character, and everyone should see that and see how that area was built around that. You've got Out of Africa, which is a fabulous wildlife park there. And then one of our favorite partners is the Blazonim Ranch, which is a chuckwagon dinner show. You step back in time at this little western town where they have a photo studio, the old west animals and the barnyard animals, and they ring the giant dinner bell, and you go in this magnificent barn for all-you-can-eat barbecue, great comedy, cowboy music. It's just stepping back into the Wild West. And all of that, again, is just 25 minutes apart, right there all around Sedona.
Wow. I can't wait to go back there.
Yeah, you got to come visit us. We'd love to have you.
Yeah, I was there. I spent a week. I own time sharing, so I said, I think I'll, trade it in and go out there. And I said, wow, this is it's something else, huh?
Well, we're very fortunate to live in such a beautiful area that still has, it's untouched by commercialism. That's the best way to describe it.
You mean to say I'm not going to find a McDonald's?
You're going to find one, but you're not going to You can not find one if you don't want to. How's that?
Oh, that's good.
It's easy to not find one. And we've got some magnificent down-home, real, honest-to-goodness cooking restaurants that aren't chains, that are great places to eat in our area as well.
Well, I'm just curious, what would you consider, like, down-home cooking? If somebody's there, what would be something they would have, like barbecued ribs, you know, like
barbecued
that kind of,
ribs, yeah. Amazing Mexican food. We have some fabulous Mexican food restaurants in our area. You've of course got the ribs. You've got just regular cooking, you know, have a nice plate of biscuits and gravy and bacon and, you know, or sausage that might have even been slaughtered by their pig on their own farm. It's pretty nice to live in an area like that.
Yeah, I know it is. Now, do you have, like, an area, like, if you're coming to the railroad, do you have, like, a little lunch place or something there?
We do. We have a really nice cafe at the train station where they can have a beautiful lunch out on the patio, and it's right next to the train, so you get to see the mountains. You get to look up at Jerome, which is just above us. Enjoy your lunch. Or if you want to order it and take it on board the train, you can, but we have some wonderful food on board our train as well.
Oh, so there's this food, like, even on the train, too.
Oh, yeah. We do a nice hot and cold appetizer spread on board the train. We do a nice champagne toast when we pull out of the depot. And we like to treat you. We like to take you into this wilderness in first-class style.
Do you do anything like murder mysteries or anything like that? You do any kind of special things on there?
We don't do murder mysteries, but we do our grape train escape, which is our wine-tasting trains. And those run all summer long, and customers leave at 5:30 in the evening, so their trip up the canyon is completely in daylight, so they can still see the eagles and the Indian ruins and experience the tunnel, and they're tasting wine throughout their entire train trip, and then it's under the moon and stars coming back to the train station.
So then on the way back, they don't care that it's nighttime.
Well, actually, they're pretty...
Oh, look at that. I think that looks like a dinosaur. That rock looks like my brother.
Well, they do. They aren't feeling any pain, let me tell you that. It's a very comfortable trip. But they've got those stars with no city lights. You've got all the stars. I try to time all of the grape train escapes around a full moon, so they get a moon coming up over them, and you've got the lights of the train dancing off the canyon walls.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really romantic trip.
And is there, let's say, give me a website.
www.verdecanyonrr.com.
Okay, and how about, you got a phone number for people to call in?
You bet, 800.
Yeah.
293-7245.
Okay, I'll put these on my the description, the show description, so that people can get to. Of course, all they have to do is, like, thank goodness for Google, huh? Birdie Canyon Railroad, and oh, look, it all
comes
up.
That's right, and we will pop right up there.
Now, give us an idea, by the way, like the cost.
Well, we start at $54.95 for adults, and our price goes all the way up to $600 for our caboose. If you'd like to have a private chartered caboose for six people with all of your champagne and your food, it's a really exquisite, luxurious way to go.
So have people rented this for, like, somebody's birthday? Or what kind of things have they done this for?
Well, we have a tremendous amount of weddings on our train because we stop on that SOB bridge,
mm-hmm.
and we say that they're taking their leap of faith on our train when they get married. So we have weddings a couple times a month on our train.
Has anybody chickened out from their wedding and jumped off?
Well, not yet.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't happen.
Oh, okay. Just kind of especially with the bridge, you know. or actually, we should cross that bridge when we come to it, I guess.
We have a lot of reunions. We have a lot of clubs that come and do our train. Because it's a great way, you get to really spend time with the people you're with. Your cell phone's not going to work in our canyon. So you're going to have to really enjoy the people that you're with.
Oh, that's good. That's,
yes, it is. Yes.
So now you're saying, like, so people will rent the caboose. What did you say, 60? Or you said six?
Six people in the caboose.
Okay.
But you can charter one of our first-class cars. They hold anywhere from 24
mm-hmm.
to 40 people.
Mm-hmm.
So you can charter one of those if you'd like to have a nice private trip. And otherwise, people just come on and they meet other people.
Right.
It's so nice to meet people from all over the world when you're traveling on that train, and you see how everyone else is experiencing seeing the Eagles or the Indian ruins.
Yeah.
It's a really great experience.
Yeah, well, hopefully I'll get back there.
Great.
With all my travels, because I definitely, there are some places I've traveled to, like when people say, oh, you know, where are your favorite places? And it's like there's so many, but there are certain ones that I would say, oh, like, you should go to, you know, and that's one of the places. Sedona is one place I think that people should visit, and, you know, once in their lifetime. If they need, when they need a break from life, that's the kind of place, you know.
I agree with you.
Not for when you want to bring the kids and go to a Disney-type park. Forget it.
No. But you know what? Introducing your children to such nature and beauty and tranquility is a plus. Sedona really refreshes you. It has that ability to make you feel really good.
Yeah. It made me feel great when I went, that's for
Wonderful.
Sure.
Wonderful.
So, okay. Well, I appreciate your calling in and telling us about the Verde Canyon Railroad. And hopefully it'll get some of our listeners to make their way out there.
Wonderful.
As I said, I highly recommend it.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So now, all right, have a good evening. You're at 4:36 your time, right?
That's right.
Okay.
The day's not over yet.
It's almost starting to get over for me, though. But
well, thank you for having us on.
Sure.
Appreciate it.
Have a great evening.
Thank you, too.
Bye. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay.
Well, so, again, the Verde Canyon Railroad, Google it, but I will put the information. Oh, let's play. Now I can play the whole song. I didn't want to really play that in her ear where the Verde is. But, so, this is, here it is, Verde Canyon Railroad.
Come take a ride through the wilderness where eagles do fly. Where rivers flow and flowers grow beneath the clear blue sky. The train is rolling, everybody get on board. Come see the beauty, come let your spirit soar. The Verde Canyon Railroad.
Yeah. So yeah, go on out there. When we waiting for Robert to call in, and in the meantime, let's see, what commercial shall we go to now? How about
Italy, Spain, Greece, Turkey. Stuff it. We do at Santa Barbara Olive Company. Jalapenos, sun-dried tomatoes, almonds, blue cheese, stuff produced in California. And we stuff some of our cold-pressed olive oils with California garlic and herbs grown right here in our backyard. Our olive oils have been pitted against some of the finest imports, and guess who exceeds in taste tests? Santa Barbara Olive Company. It's the stuff that makes a product great.
Am I talking too much about food? Am I getting everybody hungry here? All right, I'm going to try again. Let's see if I can get the song I Run for Life. Again, I don't know if it was heard, but let's do that. Let's see.
It's been years since they told her about it. The darkness her body possessed. and the scars are still there in the mirror. Every day that she gets herself dressed, though the pain is miles and miles behind her, and the fear is now a docile beast. If you ask her why she is still running, she'll tell you it makes her complete. I run for hope. The darkness had taken its toll, and they cut into my skin, and they cut into my body, but they will never get a piece of my soul. Darkness knocks on your door. Remember her, remember me. We will be running as we have before, running for answers.
She was getting busy signals just like I did in the beginning. So I'm hoping, I guess Robert must have gotten impatient and changed his mind. So hopefully Pete will just keep trying until it's unbusy. Which I don't know why it is busy. So in the interim, let's see. I would do my favorite anecdote if he doesn't call in. But I think little more music here. Here's one. I like the Titanic thing. What the heck? No doubt about it. Okay, I'm going to stop this because, thank goodness. let's get him on. Let's click this. Come on. Okay, are you there?
I am here.
Oh, thank God. Did you get a lot of busy signals?
Nope.
Going in? No?
Got right through, so.
Oh, good. Okay. Pete, I guess, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, because I'm looking at the phone numbers. I was supposed to have Robert Shields call in, and I don't know what happened. But okay.
Well, this is Pete Sanders on Vortexes at 7:45.
That's right. That's what I wanted. Okay. So first explain to everybody. I already talked about Verde Canyon Railroad and a little bit about the area. So, but the whole phenomenon there, it has to do with vortexes. So first tell us what the world of vortex is.
A vortex is an enhanced energy prayer or meditation site that makes it easier to do everything from getting answers to life problems to stress reduction to mind-body healing. And Sedona has been known as a sacred high-energy site for decades, or possibly even going back thousands of years. The archaeologists feel that the Anasazi Indians, the ones that built the cliff dwellings and then disappeared, held Sedona as sacred ground because their habitation ruins ring the Sedona area. And as a result, the archaeologists feel they lived on the outskirts but traveled into Sedona's red rock magnificence for their sacred ceremonies.
Okay, so let's go into, like, now, how many vortexes are there in Sedona?
Well, you know, it depends on who you're talking to. I've actually traveled the world as a naval officer, visited sacred sites around the world, settled in Sedona to found my organization, Free Soul, because I found it had such a great diversity of the different types of vortexes. There are four that are the most traditionally known and easiest to get to: Bell Rock, Cathedral Rock and Red Rock Crossing, Boynton Canyon, and the Airport Mesa Vortex. My book, Scientific Vortex Information, actually, though, teaches an approach to finding sacred sites wherever you travel, not just in Sedona. But the Bell Rock and Cathedral Rock and Boynton Canyon and Airport Mesa are the ones that are most known in Sedona. And they can now be explained scientifically with the latest in physics. They are not electric or magnetic phenomena, as many people think. Those are more symbolic labels rather than literally accurate.
Would you describe those particular rock formations like look like?
Well, Bell Rock looks like you stuck the Liberty Bell down on the ground. It has that triangular shape. Cathedral Rock is three spires that is supposedly one of the 10 most photographed places in the U.S. And then the others are a little bit more nondescript. But there are places where people have found for decades it's been easier for them to do their meditation or prayers. And what's exciting is that the latest in physics, superstrings physics, that many people have heard about from this movie, What the Bleep Do We Know? Actually, the PBS show Nova has a much better explanation of superstrings physics in a segment called The Elegant Universe that describes how scientists are now saying, top physicists around the world, that everything exists in a minimum of 10 or more dimensions. The three of space we know, right, left, front, back, up, down. And then they say, and six other dimensions we just don't have the technology to build machines into yet.
Hmm.
And basically the short answer of what is a vortex is it's an enhanced energy site with energy flows that the soul can soar on. Kind of the same way you see eagles and hawks soar on thermal wind currents.
Right.
In an upflow vortex, the consciousness can soar into that beyond for getting answers from a soul perspective or, you know, feeling closer to God, one with the universe. Inflow vortexes help people go inward for introspective prayer or meditation. What is my life purpose, or how can I heal a hurt from my past? And you know, that's why if people are coming to Sedona, I usually recommend they get my book in town or pick it up from our website ahead of time so they don't go to the exact wrong site for what they want to do. For example, Bell Rock is an upflow vortex, and you'll have people going to Bell Rock wanting to work on healing a hurt from their past to get insight on how to forgive or, you know, release old scars. And they'll sit there, and every time they try and go inward, because it's an upflow area, they keep feeling, oh, who cares, go blend with the universe. And they don't get anything accomplished except getting a sunburn. So, you know, knowing to go to the site that will most assist the type of meditation or prayer you want to do is a key element of not just wasting your time wandering around.
So, I mean, like, so you would ask somebody there, in other words, either read your book or just, does people in the area, like if you popped into town, you know, you're on vacation or whatever, do you think people, like, know what vortexes to go to? Or
they usually will recommend the sites to people, but unless they're really into it, they don't know how to match them up with the right site for what they want to do. And so that's why I'm always happy to, you know, call in on a show like this is to get people thinking about, well, look, do I want to go inward with my meditation, or do I want to do more of an outward blending with the universe type of meditation, and then find the appropriate spot?
Do you do tours? Do you conduct tours?
I do, but only for people who've read my book or come. I give a weekly scientific vortex information talk every Monday at the Institute of Ecotourism. But, you know, the book is designed to give everybody everything they need to do their own vortex tour. I'm kind of a stupid businessman in that direction. My foundation is I turned down, when I graduated from MIT in biomedical chemistry and brain science, I turned down Harvard Med School to go into founding this organization because I wanted there to be something whose purpose was not just commercial or to be the next guru group, but to be kind of an oasis for people who really wanted to learn to be their own best teachers. So I've written the book to, you know, be a guidebook for people being able to do their own tours and find similar places wherever they travel. That's part of why I did the world travel with the Navy, was to visit sacred sites all around the world and you know, develop this approach. And then the superstrings physics is just a benefit, that kind of an extra blessing, because it, for those of us with the scientific background, it explains why it works.
Yeah, people have given you feedback as to, like, you know, what they've gained from doing it? Like if they say, well, that's great, I read in your book, I should go to, let's say, Bell Rock for such and such, and this is what happened?
Even more than that, what I hear about is why people feel it's of value for them to come to Sedona. What's unique about Sedona as opposed to a Mount Shasta or a going to Machu Picchu or Tibet is that the meditation sites are all wrapped around the town. When someone goes to a Mount Shasta or Tibet, they have very uplifting experiences, but they don't match with the world they have to live in. And, you know, we're certainly not a big city, but because you see the town and facets of life, people tend to get insights for how to bring the mountaintop into the village, how to live their spirituality as they go through the stresses of a boss, a mortgage, a commute. And really, that's what I think makes Sedona even more special. People say, I got an insight of how to not just escape my life to feel better, but how to bring my spirituality into the challenges of my daily life.
But so what I'm wondering is, if people have gotten back with you at some point and related some stories or feedback as to of their experience of doing this, the vortexes?
All kinds of things. Some people use it for health effects. Other people will use it for, you know, getting answers for clearing past life soul bruises, something, a repetitive problem they've kept having. And so, yeah, I mean, I've been leading retreats here in Sedona for 27, 28 years now. So, yes, you know, everybody, that's part of why I founded the organization here, is when I do my four-day vortex retreat in July, we can cover more in 4 days because we can spend a day with each type of vortex and we don't have to spend all the time driving just to get to spots. Everything's very close.
Right. That must be interesting, doing 4 days of this. When you do this, is this the whole thing is very spiritual 4 days? I mean, are people staying in one place and, you know, in terms of where they're sleeping or whatever?
Well, the answer to your question is yes and no. The title of the retreat is Creating Enlightenment, Keys for Creating Your Own Self-Enlightenment. But I'm a very practical, down-to-earth guy. I did 5 years voluntary service as a naval officer. I raised 2 teenage boys. And everything I've designed is how to live your spirituality. So we usually it's held in one of the major, you know, hotels in town that's close to everything. But we weave in deep spiritual experiences with clearing old hurts, with what are the problems coming up in your life. One of our phrases in Free Soul is make life a quest, not a test. When it's a test, you lose. Everything is stress and struggle. When it's a quest, it's still equally passionate, but you feel in command, you're in control, you're on an adventure, a spiritual journey. And I know it's outside of the scope of what we're talking about today, but one of my main works at MIT and after was my second book for how to counter the parts of the brain that actually suck us out of soulness, out of our soulness, into living more miserable than we need to be. That's a part of the brain called the limbic system. And so a lot of what the vortexes do is help people break that limbic lock so they can view. A big thing in the last year was this book and DVD, The Secret. You know, and it's really nothing new. It's the power of positive thinking, law of attraction. But when you're trying to do positive thinking from a limbic brain level, with each hope or positive thought you put out, the limbic brain spits out one worry, two doubts, and a fear. So when you can get away from limbic into that beyond, it's like being able to go from a land-based telescope to the Hubble telescope that's, you know, out in space above the distortion of the atmosphere.
Right.
And it helps people get clearer insight for receiving, like the Hubble telescope does better pictures, and also be able to project what you want from a soul level, not just a body fear level.
Yeah, in terms of the books, is this like something that people could purchase at Barnes & Noble's or, you know, those kind of bookstores? Or
my first book, they can get in all bookstores, or if they're out of it, they can get it in 2 days. It was called You Are Psychic. It was my discoveries at MIT for the brain centers for tapping the psychic senses practically. And then my other books are probably better. They can get them faster from my foundation's website, freesoul.net. And I, you know, all our stuff about the Sedona information is all on the website, freesoul.net, including a unique labyrinth I designed for the Sedona community here.
I have to tell you that this sounds a little bit like when I was taking EST. Do you remember EST?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was the main reason I went into this field and turned down Harvard Med School. I felt that if people were interested, they either had to pay a fortune for stuff that was more commercial than educational, or they were encouraged to leave their faith to be a devotee of a guru. And I've dedicated my life to founding a 501c3 nonprofit that is as financially reasonable as possible, where the focus is how can you be your own best teacher. And we have instructors around the world, and but a lot of our materials are fully self-study, so that we're not just trying to hype me as the founder or an instructor. So the difference I would have with EST is I felt it was unreasonably expensive for the average person.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess at the time, I remember when I took it, it was $250, and that was back in 19, I think, like 72 or 73 that I took that. But I got a lot after, though.
Our four-day vortex retreat is $250.
Oh, well,
our weekend retreat is $150. We tried to always be as financially reasonable as possible.
Wow, that sounds great. And so they can get this information on what is the website that they said?
Free soul, two words, but no space in between.
Mm-hmm.
Just freeandsoul.net.
Okay.
And they can find us on the World Wide Web.
Okay, and then they can also purchase the books too.
Right. The You Are Psychic book, it's currently out by Simon & Schuster in paperback. That they can get at their local store, or it's in many libraries. It came out hardcover with Macmillan. It's getting ready to come out in its seventh foreign language edition in France. It's very practical. I tell people I don't believe in ESP, extrasensory perception. I believe in HSP, higher sensory perception.
Mm.
Think of the physical senses as the way we sense in our three-dimensional realm, and the psychic senses as the senses of the soul for navigating in those six other dimensions we don't have the technology to build machines to measure into yet, that Superstring says everything exists in.
Yeah. Have you found, let's say, in doing the retreats or in doing the teachings, have you find that you gain more each time just because you're doing it? Do you come any breakthroughs or things like that just because you're doing it?
Every time. You know, I try and train. One of our mottos for our instructors is teach spiritual education, not just entertainment. A lot of what's out there is more just to give people a wow. And to me, if you don't teach people how to do it for themselves, you're not much better than a spiritual drug dealer. You're just giving them their fix of wow. So it's kind of like giving people the fishing pole, not just the fish.
Right.
And one of the ways we try and do that is I say, whenever you're teaching a program, don't just do it for the students. Have something you're working on as well. And, for example, one of my biggest life wows, my second book on how to counter the limbic brain, this technique for getting a mood elevation boost in seconds, was started with some meditations in the vortexes that led me to go back into brain science research that was lost for 40 years, wasn't even being taught when I was at MIT in their brain science department, but that is a key way to trigger a mood elevation center with mind-body and suppress limbic that helps people not only be happier, but do their meditations more easily, you know, all kinds of effects. So I'm constantly trying to work on new things. When my kids were home, they both finished with college now, but when they were home, you know, teenagers give you constant growth opportunities.
I bet, yeah. Yeah, I had somebody on a few weeks ago about how to teach your, you know, about in terms of a teenager, how to teach your parents to, you know.
So they say insanity is hereditary. You get it from your kids.
Oh, really?
But I will, for anybody listening raising teenagers, I will give a great compliment to a different book than mine. There's a wonderful book. I don't even remember the author's name. The title's all you need. The title is Get Out of My Life, But Before You Go, Could You Take Me and Melissa to the Mall? It has great tips for parents of both boys and girls that help you get through those teenage years without going nuts. And I'd strongly recommend it to anybody who's living the life spiritual learning challenges of raising teenagers.
Okay. Well, I'm going to I'll get to your website. I'll probably talk to you later anyway.
Right.
But well, I'll get to your website. This is and I want to talk to you kind of to compare a little bit of what I learned from S, by the way.
Right.
It's funny because I remember, like, afterwards everybody was like, oh, it's a cult and you can't go to the bathroom. That's all that went across, and it was like, boy, they really missed a lot from this thing.
Well, you know, for your people who may be listening who can't get to Sedona for a long time, go to their library, see if they have, or go to the bookstore and get You Are Psychic, because the chapter on mind-body healing stands alone. The chapter on the soul stands alone and explains some of the super strength physics. It's something they can use that will start helping them in their life, even if they can't get to a Sedona vortex.
Okay. Well, I hope they will. I hope people will go out to Sedona, because it really is it's a fabulous place. Nice.
We're always welcome them, and I know they'll enjoy their visit if they can get out here.
Okay. Well, thank you, Pete, for calling in and talking, sharing all this information with us. I appreciate it. And I'll talk to you soon then.
All right. Thank you for having me on.
Sure. Take it easy. Have a good evening.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, yeah. Vora, Texas. Well, one of these days I'll talk about S. I have, I'm not sure who I have calling in here, but I see a phone number. Let's just see who that is. Who's calling in?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, I'm Jose Morales, the chef at Le Marais.
There you are. Okay. Yes. Oh, I wanted to tell you, it's, what do you call it, the 60th anniversary of Israel.
Exactly.
And, I'm not sure if people know. I've been trying to get it out to people. Most people think that the signing was done in, I forgot what country, you know, of the pact for Israel to become a state, and is actually signed at the in Queens at the Flushing Meadow Corona Park. Did you know that, by the way?
No.
Yeah. That back at the time they were building the United Nations, so they had the UN Assembly at what was a former structure from the 1939 World's Fair, and which is now the Queen's Museum of Art, and that's where the General Assembly met, and that's where they actually signed the treaty for Israel to become a state. So now you learn something new. But tell us the cooking. Tell me what I'm so sorry that I missed it. I went to an event and I just like couldn't go to one more after. But tell me what did you prepare?
Well, on this event, we did we tasted 12 different Israeli wines, and you put together some food that somewhat reflects the tastes or the flavors and the spices that they use on that region. We did from falafel to sheepy salad to chicken sumac We also did some lamb sliders flavored with cumin and fresh mint. We did a beef sheeks braised with Syrah. We did obvious traditional like eggplant caviar. We did some hummus. We have some wonderful selection of flatbreads. We serve some olives, marinated in olive oil and fresh herbs.
That sounds fabulous. I'm sorry I missed it. You know, by the time with all the commercials I've done already today and food I talked about, when I get off the phone, I'm going to have to eat. But anyway, so now. Let me get into that. Are you from Portugal? Is that the...
That's originally I was born in Portugal, yes.
Okay. And what got you into cooking? Just so people understand, this is a French restaurant that has
that
kosher food.
Glatt kosher. That's glatt kosher, actually.
Glatt kosher.
Yes.
And what is that? And what is, just for people to understand, what's glatt kosher mean versus...
Basically, glatt kosher restaurant, that's a restaurant that serves meat and is a restaurant that's under a supervision, kosher supervision, and the meats we serve, they need to be slaughtered and kosher in a very specific way that follows the most strictly the kosher rules.
Okay, so you would expect a lot of meat products.
Yes, on my restaurant is basically a French steakhouse. Our trademark as steaks, and when people go there is to actually eat our steaks and the French fries.
Do you choose the steaks? Do you pick them out? Do you do the buying?
Yeah, I do have a French butcher that's been working with me for 12 years. He's the one who is, his name is Dominique, and he's the one who is in charge of buying the meat and choosing the meat, and actually obviously cutting the meat.
Now, let me ask you a question. This is not, for our audience to understand. So if you're buying kosher, a kosher beef, and people think I can't get a T-bone or a whatever, something. I mean, there's very tasty and juicy beef. I mean, it's not like...
I mean, the kosher beef is as tasty and as good as non-kosher beef. The only thing is, on the slaughter of the animal, the animals, they have to be slaughtered in a certain way. Basically, a rabbi must slaughter them, and they have to be done with a very sharp knife. And I believe they have to cut a certain vein. So the idea of the kosher beef, in order to be kosher, needs to be pretty much free of blood. So they slaughter in a way where the animal bleeds to a maximum, and then for extra extraction of the blood, they salt the meat for a couple of hours.
Oh, okay. And also the certain parts of the...
So basically in the United States, the kosher certification, they only consider the kosher cuts from the rib up to the neck.
Okay.
So the back part of animal, the cuts, they are not allowed to be. They are not kosher.
Right.
So basically, we can have the prime ribs. There'll be no problem. And out of the prime ribs, we with my French butcher, if you get out the way to cut different steaks, then you use a lot of the pieces from the shoulder too.
So now, what other items are there? You have the chicken, lamb.
We have chicken, we have veal, we have lamb, of course. We have fish on the menu too. We have plenty of salads. One of the things that in the kosher restaurant you can use pretty much all the vegetables and fruits.
Right.
They have no problem. They are kosher by nature.
Right. And I try to explain to people what non-kosher fish is.
It's very simple. The fish to be considered kosher, or someone who keeps a kosher diet, the only fish they can eat is the fish they have scales. They have to have a central bone, and they have to have fins.
Okay.
So basically, all crustaceans are out of the question. They cannot be used. Neither any of the squid or octopus or any of the animals like skate or monkfish, because they do not have fins.
Okay, and
actually, tuna is kosher. Swordfish is not, but tuna is kosher because tuna has scales and have like a central spinal cord and they have fins.
Well, I didn't know that the swordfish was not.
Swordfish is not kosher. I believe swordfish don't have scales.
At first when I was, learning about kosher fish, I was under the impression that it had to do really with fish that like ate off the bottom of the ocean. In other words, it was like
I think that's one of the things that they consider that the fish that do not have scales or they don't have a spinal cord, nothing,
right.
They tend to eat out of the bottom of the ocean.
Okay. So, and by the way, for everyone who's listening, don't expect any dairy products at this.
If you operate a dairy restaurant, there is absolutely no dairy products. All our desserts are made with soy-based products, non-dairy creamers. What actually is very good for people who are lactose intolerant.
Oh yes, that's true. So, now let's get back to some of the things that you cook. What you have any like for you signature dishes?
Well, the signature dishes on Le Marais is our steaks. I have the one of them. We call the Le Marais Tournedo. That's basically the center part of the prime rib, and of course the prime rib. They are the dishes that people come to the Le Marais is known for, and people come to Le Marais to eat.
Okay, and is there like any? Do you make like any special type of sauces or things like that?
Well, most of our steaks, they are served with a Bernaise, and other ones are served with a shallot sauce. Basically, shallot sauce is a sauce with shallots and red wine.
Okay.
Is like a hot emulsify sauce. It's based with egg yolks, which we add clarified margarine to it.
Okay. How about, make, and I guess I call it like fake things, meaning, in other words, I know, something that tastes like that it's the meat, but it's not. I know it's like.
Well, I try not to go that route. So either a certain product is kosher and is allowed to be used, and I use it. I shy away from these fake. There is like a fake crab meat. Let's put it
right,
that way.
Right.
That actually is kosher. I don't use it. There is some people who try to use tofu instead of cheese. I don't do that. If a certain product is not kosher, and I try to shy away from those fake things because they don't have that great a taste. And again, there is so many products these days available on the kosher world that you really don't need to use these type of products.
Right, and they have all these additives anyway, and
I don't think they are good for your health. But it's a question of taste. They really don't do any good in terms of the taste. So. I rather, if I cannot have it, I just don't have it, period,
Sure. Now, just for people to know, again, the name of the restaurant and the location is?
Le Marais, and is at 150 West 46th Street in New York, and is between 6th and 7th Avenue.
Okay. Can you, spell the name of the restaurant?
Oh, absolutely. It's L-E-M-A-R-A-I-S.
Okay. And phone number?
212-869-0900.
Okay, and I assume there's a website too, right?
Yes, it's lemarais.net.
Oh, okay. Do you have anything planned? When this was happening, this was at the
Clubhouse Cafe.
Clubhouse Cafe
is the newest restaurant that I opened. Pretty much not even a year ago, is also glad kosher. He also serves meat, but he's more, he's like a more more simple version of Le Marais. So basically, I have like more like burgers, hot dogs, some sliders, chicken fingers, chili. It tries to be more Americana than actually French.
Oh, okay. And where is that in relation to
right
the...
across the street? Right across the street from Le Marais.
Oh, so this is, which is great. This is all in the theater district.
It's all
in
the theater district. It's pretty much across the road from Le Marais.
Oh, okay. That's really great. I'm gonna have to now get there to.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
Yeah, because I'd like to get there. I get to meet you, and I get to actually now then write about the restaurant too as well, and sample the menu. Do you ever do what do you call it? Like sample menus,
like a menu degustation?
Yes.
Not really. Although on Clubhouse Cafe, I have a section on the menu that you call snacks. It's more like people actually can have a meal as a tapas, you know. They can order a bunch of things and share.
Okay.
The menu on the Clubhouse Cafe is more than in a way where people can go there and just nibble, you know, and order a bunch of foods to the middle of the table and just share them.
Oh, okay. And what do you think, like, do you have any, like, interesting desserts?
Well, the desserts, obviously, you know, the these days the most popular and everybody loves it's the warm chocolate cake that I have on both restaurants. And obviously on the Marais, I have the profiterolos. I have opera cake that is really a cake made with mocha and chocolate mousse. I have a very thin apple tart. You know, it's pretty much at Le Marais. My desserts are very classic French for desserts.
Okay, I gotta tell you, I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward right now. But no, I will.
We're open until midnight, so we still have time.
Oh, what are your hours there, by the way?
We're open, let's say Sundays through Thursday, 12 noon to midnight, and on Friday you are open pretty much from 12 noon to 3, and on Saturday nights. We are open between November and pretty much April. You know, that the times vary according to the candlelight time.
Right. So, in other words, you're basically closed for the Sabbath, for the hours of the Sabbath.
Exactly. During the beginning of the spring and summer at Le Marais. Clubhouse Café, I'm open on Saturday nights all year round.
Okay. That's,
because it's a smaller restaurant, and it's more. I have more like a lounge ambience than a restaurant. So, and it's become a very popular hangout for, especially for the younger crowd.
Right. I thought I heard. I just want to get it clear. In terms of the 60th anniversary, it's the 15th, but because of the Jewish calendar, it's different day. Is that what I heard?
I'm not really familiar with that. You know, I heard that the festivities in Israel would happen Thursday. I guess I think it's today, but that I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, because that's what
I. There's going to be a parade in New York City. I don't know if it's this Sunday or next Sunday, but definitely there's always the Israel Pride Parade. There's always happens some this time of the year.
Yeah. Okay, I guess I'll go check that out and you know let people know. I'll put it in the newspaper. But in the meantime, the food certainly sounds really good. And as I said, I'm looking forward, and I'm happy. I'm glad that you called in. I have to tell you what I got. You know, like I was emailing and saying, okay, this is when I'd like to have him call in. And nobody got back to me and said, yes, he will. So I'm going,
okay.
I don't know, maybe he changed his mind. Then all of a sudden, but then I'm looking on my switchboard.
I got a little trouble because when I first tried dial, the line was busy, but I keep trying until I got
through. Oh, okay. That's what I was wondering. I was having some problem with this thing of people who were, even when I started to call in, I'm getting a busy signal, and I'm wondering, how can I, you know, I'm the only one calling in. How could it be busy? But every once in a while, we have technical difficulties, as any place else. You know,
glad it worked out well.
Yeah, so I'm glad that you kept calling, and got through. So I'm sorry. So you close at midnight tonight? No.
Yes, we close at midnight every single day, Sunday through Thursday. We open from 12 noon to midnight, nonstop. We never, the kitchen is always open until midnight.
So do you find people, let's say, coming in for a snack after the Broadway show?
Absolutely. Yeah. It can be quite busy after, late night. There are a lot of people that just, a lot of people really like to have dinner late, and they come to the restaurant 10, 11 o'clock, not necessarily because they went to the theater, Uh-huh. Just they keep those type of hours. So.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm looking forward. So, and I appreciate again. I appreciate that you called in, and I'll let people look forward to getting it out there in print.
My pleasure to have you and to meet you. So.
Okay. All right.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, and have a good night. Thank you.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, I'm hungry. I know, Barbara, you must have had more than a lollipop by now to deal with. I wasn't really going to get into a lot of food. But, you know, listen, I only did one commercial regarding chocolate. I didn't do the other one. So, you know, but anyway, so let's take a let's take a quick break for another sponsor.
Thank you for calling JetBlue. May I help you?
My cousin was telling me you guys have extra leg room.
Uh-huh. We have extra leg room as compared to a normal coach seat.
Okay. If I don't have an extra leg, can I use that room for something else?
No. No, that is not what the extra leg implies. We took out one whole row of seats, and that gave the rest of those rows a couple of extra inches of leg room.
Ah.
I understand what you mean. The words extra leg imply that, but it has nothing to do with having an extra leg.
I'm a pretty literal person.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be taking it very literally.
I guess a little too literally.
Okay. Is there anything else I can help you with?
I think that's it. You've been pretty helpful.
Thanks for calling, JetBlue.
Dear traveler, stretch out. We now have the most legroom in coach. Visit us at JetBlue.com. Sincerely, JetBlue. Based on average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines.
Well, I don't know when. I think I might be. Actually, I'm going to be JetBluing at the end of this month when I go to San Mateo County in California. I'm taking a break. It won't be a show next week. Because it seems to be a little too expensive for me to try to broadcast from Naples, Italy. Well, I don't know. About the rest of you, or even when you hear this, but those who are going to hear this archived, hopefully that too. I need to like go and eat something. So there's only a few minutes left of this show anyway. So the hell. I'm gonna eat. So, where's my? Say hello to everyone. Say goodbye to everyone.
I know you're the host of the show. I understand. I got it.
Yeah.